Praise the living God. Praise the Lord. I need 7 volunteers. Bear in mind, you might be standing for a while, eh? Okay. I have something to share. Extremely important. Your response will depend on how far you go, eh? Praise the Lord. Okay. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. Eh? Now, for those of you who might not know, there is one Holy Spirit, but there are 7 dimensions or manifestations of himself. Now, you've heard this before, but I'm going to try my best to bring it out in a way that is relevant to you. Eh? I'm presuming you've heard it before anyway. So there are 7 dimensions or 7 manifestations of the Spirit of God upon a man. Having the Holy Spirit upon you does not mean that these 7 manifest. You can just have the Holy Spirit. You can just be filled. You see, the Bible says, it says in the book of Acts chapter 7, I believe it's 55, chapter 7, verse 55, it says of Stephen that he was full of the Holy Ghost. When the 7 dimensions of the Spirit are operating in the man, he is full. Amen. He has a fullness. Eh? Amen. Praise the living God. Now, please understand that the Holy Spirit is extremely important for the depth that you go in God. Eh? You can know God, but you can know God the Father. You can pursue God the Father. Be saved by the name of Jesus. But if you do not have an operation or a unity with the Spirit of God, you'll be left dimensionless in relation to this particular scripture. Okay? Praise the Lord. Eh? Now, praise the Lord. Yeah. Acts chapter, Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2. Okay. All right. This is the Spirit of the Lord. There's a manifestation of the Spirit called the Spirit of the Lord. He says, the Spirit of the Lord, he says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. This is the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is a dimension of the Spirit that has to do with, number one, lordship, number two, dominion, number three, authority. When the facet of the Holy Spirit that has to do with the Spirit of the Lord rests upon a man, he can operate in authority and dominion. There cannot be dominion without this unction of the Holy Spirit upon you. It can't be. It's just wishful thinking. Huh? So you can shout and say, we shall dominate, we shall what? But if the dimension of the Spirit of the Lord does not operate upon you, it's just wishful thinking. And when we talk about dominion, we're talking about dominion in the aspect in relation to your call. Dominion in the mind of God is never just general. It means if you're called to writing, you dominate in that area. But you don't dominate theoretically. The world and the spirit realm has to feel your impact. So the Spirit of the Lord is the spirit of dominion and authority. Authority has degrees. In other words, you can grow in the degrees of the Spirit of the Lord upon you. There's authority that you have with men, an authority you have with angels, an authority you have with God. Those are degrees of the Spirit of the Lord upon a man. Notice I did not say authority over. I said authority with men, authority with angels, and authority with God. Now, I don't want to dwell on it, but the authority that a man has with fellow men grows when, for example, if men come against you, wicked men come against you, people say things against you, people in church, when they say stuff against you and you respond to the contrary, in the spirit world, you're growing in authority with men. The less you say or respond to people who speak out against you, the more authority you grow with men. The Bible says of Jacob that Laban cheats him and gives him 7 more years to come for Rachel. The Bible doesn't even say that he responds. He just goes ahead and goes for the extra 7. If you ever want to grow in authority with men, most of the men on the face of this earth who have spiritual authority rarely respond to critics.
Amen.
It's a secret. Let them talk. God vindicates you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's actually the reason why sometimes you can speak and say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, don't annoy me, don't annoy me. Nothing is happening. You speak, nothing is happening because you're always a reactor, you're a responder. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 14, verse 14, that God will fight your fights.
Amen. Amen.
That's what scripture says. Eh? So the less you respond to critics, the more you grow in authority. Praise the Lord. Eh? When the Spirit of the Lord is upon someone, the Spirit of dominion, when men have increased in that area of dominion, the Spirit of the Lord upon them, they can speak to doors in the Spirit and they open. And they can also close them. A person can come in your life and say, and see in the Spirit that you're supposed to get married 2 years from now and says, I bring it here. That is an action of the Spirit of the Lord upon someone. When someone shows up, just because one person is in a place and there's no rain. Yet for you, a child of God, whenever it's raining, you walk, you're drenched. You're drenched in rain, but one person shows up and the rain stops. He doesn't even have to speak. Because authority, I have found, is in word, thought, and action. I can just think rain stop.
Amen.
But I told you, it's a certain degree of the Spirit of the Lord upon someone. So you can have authority with men. You can have authority with angels. The reason you can never graduate to authority with angels if you haven't conquered men. It's the reason why Jacob, having shut up, has the most encounters with angelic beings in the Bible. And the Bible says he prevails over an angel.
Amen.
Huh? Yes. Authority with angels. There are men in the dark world who have gained authority by operating with spirits, not angels, demons. Huh? Praise the Lord. So they have authority with demons, spirits. Not these. Remember one time when I was teaching and I said the people on the face of this earth here, you will speak and speak and speak and nothing happens. You even call the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pronounce healing. Person remains sick. Because authority has dimensions. It's the dimension of the Spirit of the Lord upon you. Now, what I'm going to explain here is extremely important. Because in order to grow in the different aspects of the dimensions of the Spirit of the Lord upon your life, you must hunger.
Amen.
Not desire. Desire is a younger version of hunger.
Amen.
You must hunger. The Bible says of a guy called David, Psalm 63. He says, in a dry and barren land, I thirst for you. Do you know what that means?
Amen.
It means when I'm in a desert and I'm thirsty and I'm about to die, I don't need water.
Amen.
Now, you must have got to a certain dimension with God in order to say, when I'm in a desert and I need water, I need God.
Amen.
Ah! Praise the Lord. You must hunger for these dimensions. You must hunger. In other words, you capture a scripture where someone is operating in a dimension you like. When the Bible says the Spirit, when Jesus says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he's talking about this aspect of dominion, authority, exousia, the ability to speak and things happen.
Amen.
Eh? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? So, now let me explain something. Let me tell you a secret. Everything that God does, everything that he created has a nucleus. It has a focus point. Everything that God created. So, the planets rotate around the sun. Your body rotates around your heart. Blessings rotate around Abraham. The law rotates around Moses. Salvation around Jesus. Baptism around John the Baptist and the Holy Ghost. The spirit world rotates around the throne of God. Now, not only in scripture do things rotate, do you find nucleuses, but even here in life. So finances, you need to find who is the nucleus of your finances.
Amen.
It's not random. Father, give me money. No. You need to find the nucleus. I'm telling you, it is scripture. The day you walk with God and you begin to learn that actually finances are not an answer, they are reward. We'll teach on that someday. Huh? Where you go, you pray. Actually, you don't even pray. You do something. And God gives you money as a reward.
Amen.
Not as an answered prayer.
Amen.
And it's actually the secret as to why certain men of God, especially men of God, are operating in dimensions of finances. Because they discovered that when the Lord speaks and you do, there's a reward.
Amen.
The lowest of which is financial. Huh?
Yeah.
There are people who have got husbands as rewards. Say amen.
Namusirika,
chichi.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So everything the Lord does now, I stand by the notion. I stand by it. I've said it over and over. Not all men are the same. Not all men are the same. Listen, the Bible says of Moses, standing before God in Exodus 32 verse 12. God tells him he wants to destroy the Israelites. Moses stands before the Almighty God and says, repent. The next verse 13 says, and God repented. That is not your normal man. He stands before the God Almighty and says, repent. Exodus, take me there. Exodus, I think I'm speaking my own things. Exodus 32, take me to verse 12. I'll show you men are not the same. Take me to verse 12. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, this is Moses speaking, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from thy fierce wrath. Repent of this evil against thy people. Moses is telling God, repent. You go downwards, God, the Bible says, and God repented. Amen. And you think all men are the same. That's one man. Praise the living God.
Amen.
When you go through scripture, you begin to understand that there are notions of people that when they stood on the face of this earth, they were not normal. They are not normal. Even today, there are men in the demonic who are not normal, and in the angelic, the divine, who are not normal. If you speak out against a man who you see operating in a realm that is beyond your understanding, let me leave it. Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. So not all men are the same. This is the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of authority that operates upon a person. That is a certain dimension of having walked with God. You know, I have told people that you need to realize that God sees differently from the rest of us. I'll give you an example. Noah builds the ark, an architectural wonder. He builds it. It cannot be replicated today. He builds it. You would think that when God is referring to Noah in scripture, he would talk about the ark. In Hebrews chapter 11, he doesn't refer to the ark. He says, Noah, moved by fear, built an ark and moves on. That means the focus of the Lord is the fear, not the ark. Abraham moves from a land, the land of Chaldees. He comes, he's moving to Canaan. We don't know how long he takes. You would think they'll tell us about the details within there. How we were struggling with faith. In Hebrews 11, the Bible just says, by faith, Abraham obeyed and moved. That's what God focuses on. While men look at the results, he looks at the channel that has created it. So it is possible for a person to have results, but in the spirit, have no results at all. I was telling some people yesterday that you can get a seed. Eh?
Yeah.
Should I touch it? Yeah. You can get a seed and sow. The principle of sowing is in scripture. You can get the seed and sow. Get the seed and sow. Get a seed and sow. The Bible talks about 30, 60, and 100 fold. You can sow and sow and sow. But the day the Lord tells you, take that money, give it to that girl, and you don't, you'd find that you will never get 100 in that area. You'd still be hitting 60, 60, 60, 60, 60. And you ask yourself, why not? It is possible, I have found, for God to tell one person, go and get all the money you have, give it to that person. And he does it. And throughout the year, he doesn't sow, but he's reaping.
Amen.
Just because he obeyed. You guys, I'm telling you, it can mess you up. Eh? That's why instruction and obedience to the Lord is extremely important. He can mess you up. You say, tithe is for the storehouse. God can tell you the beggar is the storehouse. Give him. I say, no, Rabbi has told me, I've told him sincerely. He will know that I haven't brought tithe. What are you talking about? That's why I say no man can be your Holy Spirit. You need to grow in the things of the Spirit to be able to understand the directions of the Lord. That's how you can reap a hundredfold. Amen. Amen. There are people I've had money in my pocket. There are people I've looked at. Looked at and I'm able to help. But the Lord says, no. And I can't even dare to go against it. Because there are ripple effects. So I just said, all is well. Praise the Lord. Amen. Always waiting for that action. Go give this one. Yes, Lord. Always quick. And the effects that I get are not because I prayed a lot. They're rewards.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, there's an action of the Holy Ghost that has to do with the Spirit of the Lord upon a person. You need this, whether you believe it or not, you need it. In your office, there are people speaking against you.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. In your church or wherever you go for, there are people speaking out against you. They say, Kalave, what? She thinks well. Huh? You need that unction, that dimension of the Spirit upon you.
Amen.
Go back. What was it? Isaiah? I want to go through them very quickly. Very quickly. So it's the Spirit of the Lord upon a person. The Bible talks about the Spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of wisdom, when it rests upon a person, is a dimension of the Lord where a person knows the ways of God. He's able to discern them.
Amen.
When the Spirit of wisdom comes upon someone, remember I taught sometime that wisdom is closely linked to wealth.
Correct.
Not knowledge, not understanding, wisdom. Closely linked to wealth.
Amen.
So it rests upon a person, and you can just look and you know, I don't know why, but I feel this is the way things to do. The way to be able to know the ways of God while guys are looking for the acts. Let me mess you up. When Christmas season, should I go there?
Yeah.
Okay, Luke chapter 2. I'm going to touch this. Very informational, but important for you to understand. Luke chapter 2, the Bible says, and it came to pass in those days that there went a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now, listen to this mystery. There are things that are major events on earth, but are not anything in the spirit. Then there are things that are major events in the spirit world that are nothing on earth. Jesus' birth on earth, men did not know it existed. It took place. It was a handful of people, but in the spirit it had been known. The Bible says, for the Lamb was slain before the foundations of the earth. I want to bestow to you that if you understood what exactly happened, that for centuries, angels were preparing for this one day. One day when the Lord Jesus Christ will be born on the face of this earth. Actually, if you read a book by Rick Joyner, When God Walked the Earth, he talks about angels from different dimensions that came to see this small planet on which God Almighty came and became flesh. Angels from different dimensions, different worlds, coming to see what is this. And men were oblivious. We have only a handful of people that knew what was going on. We have Simeon, Anna, was praying for years, almost 40 years, praying for the coming of Christ. Can you imagine that a person can have so much influence in the spirit that they can quicken something on their own? Colossians 4 verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. One man, Paul is writing to one man who's praying for the church in Colossia. One man is holding them in the area of them being perfect. One man. When I tell you men are not the same, One man is praying. Anna, the Bible says, prayed for years for Christ to come. To the extent that God himself tells her, okay, now the time has come. Now listen, the reason why I'm bringing this out is because, go back to Luke chapter 2. Anna has prayed for Jesus to come, for the birth of the Savior. The time comes. The Bible says Jesus came at the appointed time. It says, while we were still sinners, Christ died. So, Christ comes at the appointed time. He's birthed on the earth at the appointed time. The world does not know, but the entire spirit world knows it. Angels are present. Now, 30 years before Jesus ever begins ministry, people are being picked for the work of Christ. So, Elizabeth is picked to give birth to John. Mary is picked. You see, people are being orchestrated. The world doesn't know. It still happens today, even when it comes to end times. For the return of Christ, people are being handpicked. By the time people realize that, it has already happened. So imagine the most crucial event in universal spirit and earth realm. And a few people knew. Angels are busy orchestrating people, putting babies in someone. A ghost has made you pregnant? Now, please understand, remember when I taught this, that in the Old Testament, it says a virgin shall give birth. It doesn't say Mary. It says that she shall be put in a tomb. It doesn't say whose tomb. And I explained that prophecies are postured for. Yes? So Judas did not have to betray. Just said someone would betray him. Didn't have to be Judas. Praise the Lord. So someone postures for it. Now, this is important. I want you to understand that if you look through scripture, Joseph is picked. An angel appears to him in a dream and tells him, this woman, it is the Lord that has done this thing. She hasn't cheated on you. Now, Joseph, without knowing it, starts to fulfill scripture. Now, this is for those of you who have received prophecies. No one in the Bible here tried to fulfill a prophecy. No one. Joseph is just... A woman gets pregnant who happens to be his wife. It says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Caesar Augustus is an emperor. I'm going to explain this. Can I touch this a bit? He's an emperor at that time. He's sitting on a throne. Actually, the Romans are in charge of the entire known world at that time. He's powerful. So he asks for a taxation, for what we call a decree of a taxation, because he wants to know how many people are within his kingdom. He's feeling sweet. Trying to see how many people are under me. So he orchestrates it. Now, please understand that even though he does it, the Bible says the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. He doesn't know he's being orchestrated by God. Because verse 2. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. Verse 3. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Verse 4. Joseph also went from Galilee to Bethlehem. Before Joseph ever came, Micah, the prophet, chapter 5, verse 2 says, he shall be born in Bethlehem. God moves an entire nation, a Roman Empire, just so that a prophecy can be fulfilled. Just an entire nation ensures that everyone has to be taxed. Just so Joseph can go to Bethlehem and fulfill Micah 5:2. Now that's how important God takes prophecies. He can move an entire country to make your word come to pass. I'm telling you, I've seen it come to... Hey, okay, we'll leave it there. Okay? Praise the Lord. So, the Bible says, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city. Let me tell you something about that Caesar Augustus. I found something interesting about him. He's in charge of the Roman Empire. There has been peace. This is historical now. There's been peace over his empire for 12 years. No war. Alright, you're with me? So he starts to think to himself, surely my kingdom, no one can face me. So he tries to build a temple and call it the Temple of Peace. But before he builds it, he goes to a guy possessed by a demon called the Oracle of Apollo. This is historical fact. Goes to the Oracle of Apollo and asks him, I'm going to build a Temple of Peace. How long shall it last? The oracle replies, when a virgin gives birth and remains a virgin, that's when it shall fall. He laughs, thinking to himself, there shall never be such a day, and names the temple the Eternal Temple of Peace. The day Jesus was born, the time period, it collapsed. Okay, now when you go do your history, yeah? The temple, that eternal temple, mysteriously, quote-unquote, collapsed. This is not just even Bible, history. Now you ask me why I'm a believer. Not just because, okay. So, here's what happens. Joseph goes up out of the city of Nazareth into Judea and to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Bethlehem means what? House of bread. Now, you must understand, I'm trying to show you the orchestration of the Spirit. The bread of life must be born in a house of bread. Now, so he's orchestrated, sent there, to be born there. According to your Christmas story, and some of you have had me teach this is wrong history, wrong Christmas story, wrong one. They show you on television how the shepherds and the wise men were all around a manger. That's not true. Scripture says in Luke chapter 2, you read on, it says that the shepherds showed up at the manger. The wise men show up at a house 2 years later. How do we know it's 2 years later? Because the scripture says, from afar they see a star. They see a star and follow it. By the way, one day we shall touch that, because scripture says that star was moving. It's not this stuff of where you're driving and the sun has moved, but it's actually, no. Scripture says as they moved, they actually followed the star. The Bible says that the star moved until it stopped over where Jesus was. Boop! So it was actually moving. Amen. Now, one, it was moving. Two, they're the only ones who could see it. Otherwise, Herod would not ask, where did you see this star? Okay. Amen. Now I've gone away from... Anyway, when Christmas season, so that you celebrate right. Now, okay, so please understand, even the wise men when they came, of course you know there were not three. The Bible just says wise men. They had three gifts, but they were wise men. We know these wise men, the Magi. Why are you laughing? Hey, I assume, eh? I'm sorry, man. I've taken you through, I'm presuming you're like me. Okay, so they are wise men. They're not three. They have three gifts. They could have been 100 for all we know. But wise men show up from the east, Magi. We know they are kings of sorts. To fulfill a scripture in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 60 verse 3, that says, kings shall come to your rising, Gentiles to your light. It's a prophecy of those kings.
Amen.
Yeah? They were kings and they were Gentiles. Where were they from? They were from Persia. Whenever you see, the Bible says they were from the east. Whenever you see in the Bible, whenever they say east, or they give any direction, they're referring to a direction in relation to Jerusalem. So when they say northwards, you look at Jerusalem, north, not Uganda. Okay, you understand? All right, so the eastwards, these guys came from the east, they came from Persia. Somehow we know that they had the authority, the ability. Now this is why I tell people, I'm going to get to a certain action or dimension of the spirit here that's important. That there are people in the spirit, like these wise men, who had the capacity to read seasons in the spirit realm.
Amen.
While Anna and Simeon were praying, these guys were chilling and just saw a star in the spirit.
Amen.
What had taken someone years to perceive,
Amen.
They just see a star because they had an understanding of the times. It is possible that if you got an understanding of times, what someone else is praying for, you just wait for the season. People who have understanding rarely panic. Understanding goes hand in hand with rest.
Amen. Amen.
There's someone who sent me a testimony last night. And they're saying, someone around here, and they're telling me, man, for a whole, from last year, I haven't paid for water, but it's coming. I'm trying not to look at the person. It says, man, I haven't paid rent for 3 months, but the landlord is disturbing everyone but me. Now, the day you take yourself away from rest and say, my God, what if he's coming? You just open. You come and knock, how have I missed you for 3 months? Well, praise the Lord. Anyway, so these wise men had the capacity to see in the spirit. They see in the spirit, which is why we emphasize day and night that you need to sharpen these spiritual eyes of yours. Amen. Once they are sharpened, no one can come and say, actually, I'm your husband. You understand? Actually, I am your husband. Using dreams and visions, your spiritual eyes need to be open. So, at that time, prophecies are being fulfilled, whether men know or not. Caesar Augustus is taxing people, whether he knows or not, but the hand of the Lord is dealing. They're fulfilling prophecy. Now think about the prophecies that are upon your life. If prophecies that men did not, do you know that there are things, there are prophecies that Jesus had a hand in? Then there are prophecies he could not have a hand in. He had to wait for the Father to direct by grace. So when he's in Mary's bosom, he can't orchestrate a prophecy. The Lord has to orchestrate things and get her to Bethlehem. You're with me? But when there are things he had control over, he goes on the cross and says, my Lord, why have you? That one is being a partaker of a prophecy, making it work out. But there are some things that you cannot do, you cannot work out, you have to let them play out. Manaelewa. Yeah, praise the Lord. Eh? Okay. Let's talk about, because I'm a person who's obsessed with seasons. I like to understand the spiritual seasons. Say, you see, every one of us, no one can tell you how many seasons you have in your lifetime. No one. The reason is because even a day can be a season in the eyes of God. Now, here's the crazy thing. How many days are there in a week? 7 days in a week. If we go to the next week, the days will be the same, but the week is different. That's how seasons are. So a season can shift. Things around seem similar, but it's different. Now, here's the thing. Often, when the Lord wants to shift you from one season to another, He'll orchestrate everything. The duration of the season is what I call process. In other words, you're being processed. Your faith is being processed. Who you are, your character is being shaped. You can fail or you can pass. Genesis 4. Take me there. Genesis 4, verse 1. Quick. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Verse 2. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Verse 3. And in the process, have you seen? There is a season, but there is a process of it. All leading to one particular defining moment as to whether you will shift to the next season. And for them, that defining moment was an offering. Now your life is just like that. You go through process until there's one defining moment. And you see, here's the thing. Cain and Abel came from the same womb. They had the same parents, existed under the same conditions. No one had an advantage. What happened was, somehow, the process that Cain and Abel were taken through shaped them differently. They responded differently. And so, the answer or the solution that happened at the offering was a result of how they responded to the process. So some people, they chuck you, you chuck God. I know people like that. How could you do this to me, Lord? How? I was with you. I sang in worship team. Lord, how could you? There's always a process that leads you to a particular point in time. At that point in time, that's why now I say that you can bring a seed. And listen, the Bible says that God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but rejected Cain's. You can bring seed. The church accepts it, but God hasn't. The church accepting your seed does not mean God has. That's the reason why people sow. Because for God to accept your seed, He sees the invisible. He sees posture. He sees heart. So if I stand up here and I tell you, you, give. I might accept it, but as God. And we know that once God accepts, this is crazy. You know, Cain was a spiritual chap. The Bible says that he saw that the Lord had accepted. How? You must be spiritual. Now you read the story. You read the story. It just says, and God accepted. We don't know where the fire came, what. The Bible just says Cain looked and got jealous because he knew his had been rejected. How? You must be spiritual. You must know the capacity to know that you've given, but it wasn't accepted. Oh, Lord have mercy. This is why I was telling you the issue of obedience is extremely crucial. You and God must have a relationship. The Spirit, there must be a partnership with Him. Otherwise, you can do things potea. Yeah? I was seated somewhere. I was seated at Silver Springs the other day. Here. I was seated somewhere. I was seated by myself. Now, I have to say this for the sake of making this clear. Wednesday morning, early in the morning, I have a dream. And in that dream, a man comes and says, you know what? Here, have dollars. And the man walks away. I wake up and I'm looking at the ceiling thinking, this dream does not need interpretation. You understand? Eh? And some of you want to be deep. Eh? No. We wake up and say, amen. My wife asked me, what's wrong? I said, I've just had a very interesting dream. But be it unto you according to your will. Now, in that moment, my phone rang. And it rang by a chap I don't like. Chap was calling me at, you're calling me at 6:37. You're calling me at 6:37. The guy, he rang. And I tried to switch off because I was, you know, sleepy. And instead I answered. So when I answered, I had, hello? I was like, now I can't switch him off. You understand? Eh? So, now I want you to understand the ways of the Spirit. I answer. When I answer, I hear, the Lord has told me to give you $500. Hello? I woke up. I said, hello. Emma. Yes, Rabbi, I'm sorry I've woken you. No. I was actually awake. He says, I was hoping, just tell me when you're free. Free? And I'm sitting at Silver Springs, waiting for one job. Because you know it was a dream and this is of the Lord. You understand? So he tells me, what, my car's broken down, but please, I could actually be late. I'll be here as long as you're coming. Now, here's what I'm trying to tell you. That you see, the operation of the grace of God is in such a way that when your blessing is in process, God even orchestrates your mistakes. When you're trying to switch off, you switch on. Huh? Why? Because you have said, be it unto me, Lord. I receive. We've gotten money in weird ways. There's a day I was sitting somewhere, I was sitting somewhere and some guy came and gave me $3 million. He gave me $3 million Ugandan shillings, put it in my hands, then sat down. I said, usually I'll ask you, don't even introduce yourself, but really I didn't. At that time, I had $3 million in my hands, you understand? So, you don't need to introduce yourself. You understand? So he sits down and asks me, who are you? I tell him, man, you've just given me 3M. I would suppose that you know who I am. You understand? He says, no, I know who you are, but in a dream, the Lord came to me and said, give that man $3 million. Amen. It's that day I realized, it settled in my spirit, that the day you realize that the people around you do not determine God's blessing for you. Amen. If they're broke, it doesn't mean God can't bring you money. Amen. You understand? Amen.
Hallelujah, guys. Well, praise the Lord. May you have the same dreams in Jesus' name. May someone make your destiny career just restless. They Google you and ask, Nayo nani? Anyo no! Okay, so go back, man. I've gone away from... Have I finished Christmas? We'll touch Christmas on another day. But it was just a by the way. That to show you that the hand of the Lord can orchestrate prophecy, even absent of the knowledge of men. That's how the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. If they speak over you and they say you're going to UK, your job is to prepare. Amen. Say, man of God, I don't have the money. You think God doesn't know you don't have the money?
Amen.
Huh? And the best types of prophecies are the ones that are open. They haven't given time periods. That means you can even make it today. Those ones, those are the best. And then for me, I see the Lord, I see marriage. You didn't say when. I go in the spirit and I say, put it June. And you see, but now you go, you run after the man. Man of God, when? Why are you limiting God? Anyway. So go back to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Now it says, I've talked about the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom that rests upon a man. Go back, verse 2. So wisdom is extremely important because once you have it, you're able to perceive the ways of God. People who operate with money need wisdom. I'm telling you, wisdom not only in receiving but also in giving. Who you give is extremely important. Often it's not about the quality of the seed, it's the quality of the soil. I was telling people that Jesus sowed into Judas and reaped a betrayer. It has nothing to do with Jesus' seed. It's the soil of Judas. I think I've spoken language that I've left you. Okay. So, spirit of wisdom. All right? This one, extremely important. The Bible says of a man called Bezalel, Exodus chapter 31. The Bible says that the Lord has anointed him with wisdom, with knowledge, and understanding in all workmanship. Okay? That rests upon him, pap, to the extent that men cannot be able to portray, to repeat what he has done, absent of the same spirit upon them. Okay? Do you know that when an anointing is upon a man, we don't celebrate men because they are anointed. We celebrate particular people because of the degree of the word that is manifested. Amen. Otherwise, all men that are anointed would be celebrated. So when I look at you, the degree of the word that is manifesting, you speak and show, that degree, you're worth celebration. Okay. There's a dimension of the spirit that brings understanding. Amen. Now, the Bible says, get wisdom. And it says, in all thy getting, get understanding. Amen. Understanding is extremely crucial. The Bible says, and this is where you need to be clear, the Bible says that Daniel had understanding in all dreams and visions. Scripture says of Ezekiel, he wasn't like Daniel. He had understanding in only visions. So if he went into dreams, things would have missed him. But Scripture says, Ezekiel had understanding in vision. Are you with me? I've just told you Bezalel here had understanding in all workmanship. God can give you understanding in your particular area. That the thing falls on you and you're looking at things and for you it's clear. I was explaining to someone the other day of what the Lord brought me to understand when I was talking about dreams. I asked God a lot of questions. And the Lord told me, men error. When you're interpreting a dream, dreams sometimes have segments. Not every part of the dream is for now. And because not every part of the dream is for now, there are parts of a dream that are sealed. So if you attempt to interpret them, you're automatically off. And you will know it is sealed, especially if you have the gift of interpreting and you're not getting it. It's sealed. That's why you see, men of wisdom will often come and say, in this dream you had this, then there was another part, but it's not for now. When something is sealed, now someone else says, now let me see, now the banana stands for, and you try to, that's... That is a certain level of understanding, the spirit of understanding that rests upon a person. Are you with me? Now you can have understanding in worship, understanding in business, understanding in any aspect, but it rests upon you. When you speak, men sit to listen. These dimensions of the spirit have no age, no gender. It can rest upon a babe as per scripture. Not babes, eh? The child, eh? Okay? So there's a spirit, there's a dimension of understanding. I want to go through this very quickly. Okay? Then we have the spirit of counsel. The spirit of counsel, the Bible says in what? Isaiah 6 verse chapter 30. It says, you shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way you should go. Counsel is when the Lord speaks to you and tells you and directs you. You must have a certain partnership with the spirit to be able to hear that. Amen. Pastors often have this spirit upon them. In dimensions, it rests upon them. When he speaks, he gives counsel. The pastoral office is extremely crucial in that area. But you see, the thing is this, it can rest upon you. When it rests upon you, you not only receive counsel from the Lord, but you're able to give. That's why sometimes us men of God, someone can come with an impossible situation. If I had been in the natural, mama, there are things people have come with. I said, Lord, thank you, Jesus. I thank you that you are with me. Someone comes with a situation and you say, "Hey!" But the spirit of counsel rests upon a person. I told you to get these dimensions of the spirit. You must learn to hunger. You must see when men, you look for them in scripture. See men upon which these dimensions fell upon. And then desire it. Develop a hunger. It will rest upon you and consume you. Whenever you lack advice, whenever you're lost, this is something you should pray for. Because when you pray, Lord, give me counsel. Let your spirit rest upon me. Let this dimension come upon me. Someone comes and says, I see you've had this issue. Instead of, Rabbi, Rabbi. By the way, the number of people who send me Facebook messages has increased of, I'm tired. They just increase every other day in Koye. Okay? So this is a certain, you have to have a certain level of understanding to know what to pray for when you need counsel. Then there's a spirit of might. People don't know what that is. The spirit of might was upon Samson. It is not only physical, it is spiritual. Paul speaking, Ephesians 3:16. He says, that you might be strengthened. He says, by the spirit. Actually, he says, you might be strengthened with might by the spirit in your inner man. He's talking about a might in the spirit. Now, when someone has the spirit of might upon them, they can endure things. People are talking against you. People are what? Just people in ministry need this spirit, this dimension of the spirit. It rests upon a man and he tolerates crap. It's the same spirit that sits upon a person. I usually come here, it's my rule, and I know some men of God that I stand with, most of them, when they come for ministry, they don't come when they've eaten. Because if I came here full, man, there would be a different operation of the spirit. Eh? But usually I come here when I haven't eaten literally the whole day. Now, the ability to sit here and speak 1 hour, 2 hours, that's a spirit of might that's resting upon a person. Because the moment I finish and walk out, I'm exhausted. It's resting upon a person. The ability to endure, to go through things that you see, scarcity, what, to go through, to not be shaken. Stability in the spirit is this spirit. To be stable. When all winds of doctrine are coming your way, it's a spirit of might. Resting upon a person. Then it says, have I finished you? I finished counsel. Yeah, you're the spirit of might. May it rest upon you in Jesus' name. May you endure. You know, I was telling someone that when certain people are outside the operation of the spirit, we call it, when you're in the operation of the spirit, you know how the spirit works? We call it endurance. But if you're outside, we call it long suffering. My God. Anyway, so this is the spirit of knowledge. When the spirit of knowledge rests upon a person, please understand that there are different dimensions of knowledge. There's a knowledge that is natural. We call it gnosis. The spirit of God does not operate with information. He operates at a level we call epignosis, divine knowledge. When it rests upon a person, it's so high that irrespective of age, gender, irrespective of experience, you know things that you are not supposed to know. It just falls upon you. The word of knowledge comes from the spirit of knowledge. Higher knowledge. You start business. Guys, look at you. Guys have been in the thing a year. Years, actually. And for you, in a couple of months, you're already excelling. That is divine knowledge. It falls upon a man. Boop! Very, very important. That is extremely, extremely important. Because the spirit of the Lord does not operate by information. He operates and activates your spiritual experiences. That's why the Bible says, Jesus says, how be it? That when the spirit of truth comes, he shall guide you, not tell you, guide you in all things. He's not an information giver. Amen. He guides you, takes you, shows you in scripture, takes you to the experience of it. That's divine knowledge. There's another type of knowledge called prognosis, to know beforehand.
is foreknowledge. Somehow, everything that is happening, you know before it shows up. We have certain aspects of it when we get to what we call deja vu and so on. It falls upon a man. And I'm telling you, you need these things because you see, many men and women who are operating in areas of the spirit that you have no clue are because they've learned the manifestations of these seven. And I told you what opens it up is you must learn to hunger. So instead of crying, oh, Lord, I need money. Look for one of those, if not all. The last is the rarest upon the church. Very rare. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. Very, very rare. It is the reverence of God. Where you've had an encounter, listen, the Bible says of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated upon the throne, and his glory filled the temple. He's speaking from a place of reverence. The Bible says John, the same John who put his head in the bosom of Jesus, in Revelations appears before Jesus, and he's trembling. The same Jesus whom he was hugging the other time. That means that when, that's why I say you can tell a real encounter someone has had with God when something inside of them dies. Men who have had genuine encounters with God fear God, they revere him, they respect God. That means when someone's anointed and I feel they're doing off stuff, I don't just speak against them, I fear God. Because the Bible says, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. The prophets do no harm, but the anointed don't have to be prophets. You can go speak stuff and things hammer you, whether you sit under whose grace. Because the law is the law in the spirit stands. You will reap what you? It's very simple. It's extremely rare in the church. This one, very, very rare. Very few people have it. Have this dimension of the Lord where they fear, they respect. Someone comes in the presence of God and steals people's bags. What are you talking about? Do you not fear God? We live under grace. You're joking. Okay. Quickly. These seven that I've said are not the only ones, the dimensions of God that you can have. There's a dimension of creativity. There's a dimension of quickening. The Bible says in John 6:63, the Bible says the spirit quickens, but the flesh profits nothing. Do you know that there's a secret to see a dimension of the quickening of the Lord? Is there anything delaying in your life? Lord, rest upon me, spirit of quickening. It's the same spirit. Actually, it amazed Paul so much. He said, all I want is to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection was the quickening of a dead body. You know when something is dead in your life? You need that one. A relationship is dead? You need that one. A prophecy is delaying? You need that one. Yeah? A job, it hasn't opened? You need that one. Lord, quicken! You need a quickening spirit. It has dimensions. It can quicken something that has been delayed, but it can fall upon a man. The Bible says it fell upon Elijah and he ran. Same spirit, same dimension. Falls upon a chap and is running. We know that Philip runs faster because he doesn't use his legs. Scripture says he's just transported. Poop. Say amen.
Amen.
That is my portion. It's extremely important for people who are disturbing you and you want to get away as fast as possible. By the way, you guys don't know that some of you, it actually happens. The men of God you look for, you see them one moment, you turn, they're not there. This is man, what has happened? I didn't know you've just experienced a quickening. Praise the Lord. So you need this dimension. There are various dimensions of the Spirit. You go and look for them in Scripture and you will find that the Lord has, you see, the moment you stick in tradition, it is possible that you will question a move of God because you're stuck in tradition. So you will question a dimension you've never seen because you're stuck in tradition. Every day I tell God, show me something. There's a spirit that can fall upon a man that is health. Just health. Not healing. Health. My wife caught it. I'm still believing. Anyway. But my wife caught it. Never falls sick. You can be there with your flu. Achua. What? You know, just nothing, never get sick. Why? Because apparently a few years back she had one word. A man of God said, receive health. She received it and that was it. I was asking someone the other day that prayer, actually if you look through prayer, it has dimensions. You can pray. Father, actually someone came to me and said, man of God, my wife and I are believing Every day we pray for that job to come. Every day we pray. That level where Jesus said, men ought to pray and not lose. There's that level. Then there's a level where a man has walked with God. He goes before God, speaks. The moment he says amen, never looks at it again. Never. I'm like that, by the way. Never look at it again. Because in my mind, in my heart, he says, the Father hears. Now, you see, you have to understand. It needs, you know, the spirit of wisdom. People need it when they're reading the Bible. Because you could either be, you can pick a scripture that says, is any one of you sick? Let him call of the elders and they lay hands. Or you can pick by his stripes, I was healed. Which one do you want? God forbid I can be careful where we're reading. Very, very careful. Okay? You can say, he's able to meet all your needs. Then I pick the one that says, able to do exceedingly abundant. That one is mine. Needs, okay, that's someone's. Because when scripture was written, it's written to various degrees of glory. Are you with me? Now, a time is coming. A time is coming. And that's why, remember the first thing I said. I said, you need, let's say finances, because that one is the most for most people. Let's say finances. You need to locate your nucleus. You need to locate it. When you've located it, then you need to discern what to do with that nucleus. Sometimes people bring money to a man or woman of God, even if it's not a man or woman, because the nucleus sometimes can even be someone who has walked in a revelation, but they're not a man of God. Sometimes you bring money, what you need is counsel. So you're trying to sow. Now you can sow, yes, but sometimes what you need is advice. Go do this, go do this, do this. Sometimes it's not advice, you need a prophecy. So some people come for advice, the ability to discern. I'm telling you, so wisdom, the ability to discern what you need from a man and what you can pick. Extremely, extremely important. You will never miss your season. Those are the things that I pray. You don't miss seasons. I was telling someone the other day that if you fail a season, it repeats itself. You know it has repeated itself when it seems some things are familiar. Like, man, even last year I went through this thing. I don't know why, it's always me going through the same thing. But the thing is repeating itself until you learn. And usually the characteristics are similar. They're similar, they repeat themselves. Even the people can be similar. The people speaking against you first took a hiatus. Then they come back. And literally say the same thing they said a year ago. And what God is saying is that you won't shift to the next season, pass. And what did you do last time? When they spoke against you, you started, look at her. What? And God is trying to build long suffering. Okay, endurance. Let me tell you, as I wind up, let me tell you, that the day you realize that you have an asset called the Holy Spirit, God himself, right with you, who has different facets of himself. Every day some of us are trying to learn to tap into the different ones, beyond the seven. The day you learn that, the day you learn to nurture hunger for a dimension you want to see, what do you need? Because listen, when Adam and Eve were created, the first dimension we see of the Spirit is creativity. In the Bible, it shows up. God said, let there be light. First action is creativity. All the other aspects that we're mentioning here came after the fall. But you imagine, God is big. Imagine how big he is. Give me Isaiah 40, verse 28. Verse 28, quick. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. There are things about God you cannot find out if you searched. And so they need to be given to you. If you tried, this is why I'm telling you, it is wisdom to know your call and know where to put your strength. If you're going to be president, praying for 9 hours, I think there are more things that God will take you through to shape you to be president than praying like a prophet or a teacher or a pastor. You need to learn to discern. It doesn't mean you don't pray. It's being efficient in the spirit. There's a place where a man, having been called to a particular area, goes into unnecessary. Unnecessary. And the Lord just looks at you. And you fast. You punish your body. You what? There's a place where actually fasting is of, listen, it's scripture. It's of God. But there's a place in line with your call. Now, let me ask you. Why would a pregnant woman be fasting? You think God is blind or deaf?
just health-wise, it's ridiculous. Man of God, for me, I want my baby to come out a prophet. I'm going 40 days. Huh? That is just now, it's in the spirit, it's stupidity. You're doing something spiritual, but you're being foolish. It's different if the Lord himself comes and says, you know what? You don't need a man like Mary. I will duplicate. I'll just put inside you I don't know if people will believe you. Eh? Praise the Lord. Okay. So, there are multi-dimensions of the spirit. And as we end the year, you need to learn to tap into those. There's a dimension of the spirit that is wealth. A dimension that is money. Huh? There's physical money, then there's money in the spirit. There are people whose accounts are full, but they don't know how to withdraw. No, time has run out. So you've been saying, and the Lord is saying, fantastic, and now you don't know how to withdraw. So you just sit there, cause the Lord, but in the spirit you're wealthy. By the way, I don't want those things of spiritual wealth when it hasn't manifested. So remember what I was saying. I'll end with this. Remember what I was saying at the beginning. I said there are things that are done on the earth that are major activities in the spirit. Huh? So take, for example, the Bible says, of a centurion, he's doing something normal, offering alms, but in the spirit it comes as remembrance. It is a major thing in the spirit, but the world doesn't know it. The Bible, listen, there are people even on earth, they were so important to the move of God that God couldn't allow a mother to name them. He can't leave it to chance. So what he does, he comes in, an angel comes and says, name this one John. I don't trust you. Huh? He comes, his name shall be Jesus. Jesus, why, which is the root name of Joshua? Huh? They're the same name. Hey. Okay, now you know. So Joshua and Jesus are the same name. Yeshua. Salvation. Okay? So, there are people like that. The Bible says in Isaiah, God sees Cyrus and calls him by name. I can assure you it still happens today. There were people who are named here on earth, who are birthed, and the spirit of the Lord can't leave it to chance. Because like I said, not all men are the same. There are people I know, when they were born, there were certain signs in the sky. Now all of you in the spirit are stars. Amen. You know that?
Yeah.
All of you are stars. All of you. But interestingly, I was telling some people yesterday, when I read through scripture, the Lord asked me a question. Always messes me up. Took me through the story of Joseph. And scripture says, Joseph says, I had a dream. 11 stars, the sun and the moon were bowing before me. So the brothers were the 11 stars. The sun was the father. And the moon was the mother. The question God asked me was, what was Joseph? Scripture doesn't say what he was. He just says, I saw 11 stars, sun, moon, bow before me. Now, if the stars and the sun and the moon are bowing before, because the sun and moon don't bow before a fellow star. They don't just bow before a star, yo. Okay, we'll talk another day. The Bible says there's the glory of the sun, the glory of the moon, and the glory of the stars. What was Joseph? Homework for another day. Not all men are the same. Inside here, there are chaps who are going to shake nations. And you see, God can change your situation just like that. Sometimes what you want is a job, and God is looking far ahead. I was telling someone the other day that God can mess you up. He can put your solution right next to you, looking 5 years ahead. Amen. Then you're there, you abuse her, you watch, she even dresses funny, what? Then 5 years. You need a job and she's the one. God was saying, "Wana, you see, discern." That's why I tell you, for me, as long, I don't think there's anyone here who can say that I've mistreated them. I can't. I fear you guys. Because I don't know what you're going to be. Do you know what it means to go looking for a passport and someone can help you? Huh? God brings them to your fellowship just for that. It's like my son might one day need a passport. Huh? And you see, sometimes someone's blessing is based on you accepting. So they put you in a passport place, and then you come, Rabbi, let me do your passport. And I say, no. Now your blessing is waiting. Is waiting until I say yes. Some of you are holding some people's things. Ladies, let me tell you, because you, most of you lie in cocoons, a number of you. A sister comes and usually say, "This guy likes me." I say, now he doesn't dress well. You're not using discernment. You're using suspicion. Now what the Lord does, you don't know. You don't know how things play. Man, in the process, you're also holding yours. But you're just speaking, and the guy, You must learn to see that we're all interconnected. None of us here know each other just for the sake of knowing each other. The other day, I met a guy I said hello to in a church, in Church of Uganda. I passed by him and said hello. 7-8 years ago, I just said, "Hi, how are you? You're good." When I was heading somewhere, I was driving and I didn't have my permit. Guess who was the policeman? Says, "Hey, I remember you. Yeah, man, good man, good man. You go." I said, "Lord, thank you for 8 years ago." Imagine if this chap, and I just come from preaching, and he comes, "Man of God, I just wanted to greet you." Imagine if I said, "I don't have time." And then the Lord smiles as I'm stopped by a traffic. You guys, look around. All these chaps here, all these, you're not sitting next to them by chance. You're not in the same room by chance. Yeah. The day you realize that is the day you'll know that God messes men up. He can put a husband in the same room. Put a wife in the same room. Put you in a taxi. Then for some reason, he even makes it smell. Then you're sitting together and say, "It smells, yeah, it smells. Can I get your number?" God can mess you up. So stop feeling sweet. Stop feeling sweet. "I am apostle this. Do you know who I am? You don't just come to me without seed. Do you know what you're talking about?" The person who's standing in a few years, they could be the person you need. Then they remember. Then you come to them and they say, "First bring seed." But I hope you guys don't revenge. Me, I don't revenge. Life is a mystery. Life is a mystery. Praise the Lord.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.